I'm going to read a couple times from the Gospel of Luke, so you can stay seated and just get comfortable however you feel the most comfortable. Luke 18. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, vindicate me against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Took a year. Took a whole year to figure out where the Lord was calling me to go. For me, it's really hard to make decisions. And I really didn't know what was going on in my life. And I started praying to the Lord and coming to the Lord more, and I just didn't know what to do. It was so hard. I applied to graduate school. I'm an artist. And I applied to the top 4 graduate schools in the nation. Guess what? I didn't make it in. And I thought to myself, well, if this is what the Lord is really calling me to do, I need to do it wholeheartedly. And I quit my good full-time job at a gallery and got a part-time job doing catering. Got an apartment or a flat in Hamtramck, just enough space to do artwork and to live, and just enough money to just get by. I literally was that starving artist, although I didn't starve because I worked for the catering, so I had triple-cooked chicken all the time. Literally, it's cooked 3 times. So for a year, I ate chicken like rubber. When I went to Hamtramck, though, my life changed drastically. I purposely didn't bring a TV with me because I watched too much TV. At that time, internet wasn't that big. It was still dial-up. I don't talk on the phone very much. And I really started to separate myself from certain friends. So I was alone a lot. Which I don't mind. I'm actually an introvert. I like to be alone. But I was alone in a different way than I was before. I had this silence in which I was able to really begin to hear the Lord. I started to read. I was never a reader. I don't think I read one book in high school. I listened to a couple books for a test. I started reading some really good books with a moral to it. I started reading Lives of the Saints. And they had started to inspire me. I read the Bible all the time. And it was an amazing time that I started to hear the Lord. I would pray as I would do the artwork. And sometimes I'd be in prayer for 6-7 hours. It was a wonderful time. It was a scary time as well. And a lot of times I would pray in my bed. I think that's a great place to pray. And I would prop my head up against the pillow and I would look at the picture of Jesus and Mary that I had across the wall. It's the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I think a lot of us are familiar with that picture. Well, when I looked at Mary and I looked at Mary long enough, her lips would move. Honestly, her lips would move. And I wanted it to be real. I wanted it to be a miracle. And every time I looked at Mary, her lips would move. And, you know, my heart would pound every time I saw it. I'd get up on the edge of the bed and just get close enough where it would continue, but not too close because I didn't want it to stop. I thought, this is my miracle. This is great. And then I thought, well, duh, listen to her. What's she saying to you? And all I got was 5555555555555, the number 5 over and over and over and over again. What does that mean? 55555. So then began my search for the number five. Psalm 55, page 555 in the Bible. Matthew 5, anything with a 5 in it. 5! Is that you, Lord? 5! But nothing really satisfied. But I kept up with my prayer. And I thought, well, if the Lord is really calling me to the priesthood, I have to discern a little bit more. I have to go to different places. I have to discover what it would be like. And I visited a couple religious orders and went on a discernment weekend, and it wasn't quite right for me. And I didn't really know what to do anymore. And my pastor kind of forced me to go on a discernment weekend to Sacred Heart Seminary here in Detroit. I didn't want to go. Nothing's cool in your own backyard, right? You got to go away somewhere, somewhere where it's exotic and it's cool and you're doing a weird thing and that's awesome. Go to Detroit here at Sacred Heart? So I went and I had all these stipulations begrudgingly. And one of the things was is I did not want a room with another person. I liked my space. Didn't want to be with another person. And sure enough, guess what? Here's my name. And right underneath it is another person's name. And I was so angry, and I was getting angry at the Lord too. But you know what? He turned out to be a really good guy. We talked, and we had so much in common, and it seemed that our prayer was the same. Lord, just show us a sign. We want to do your will. I want to do your will. Lord, show me a sign so that I know that I'm going in the right direction. Please, Lord. We talked for almost the whole night. So after the discernment weekend was kind of coming to the end, it was a Saturday night, they said, hey, let's do something fun. We'll take you all down on the discernment weekend to watch the seminarians play basketball. Whoopee! Get to watch someone else play basketball. So I didn't go. Because that's just me. But then I thought better of it, and I thought, well, I need at least to make an appearance, right? So I went, and it was towards the end of the game. And of course, I wasn't having any fun that they thought we were supposed to have. And I remember sitting there with my head in my hand and just sitting there going, Lord, why? Why am I here? Why am I here? And a buzzer went. Arr! The scoreboard. Scoreboard is another way to say sign. And when the buzzer went off, it was 55 to 55 with 5 minutes and 55 seconds left in the game. A sign. A sign. Now I knew why I was there. And I walked immediately to the chapel and got on my knees and I thanked the Lord. Now, it didn't tell me everything. It didn't say, hey, you're going to be in this seminary for 6 years and you're going to become a priest. I didn't know that. It was just enough light to know what the next step was, but it was exactly what I needed at that time. It was exactly what I needed at that time, but it took a lot of prayer and a lot of perseverance. That's why I brought up that gospel today about prayer and perseverance, that we have to be coming to the Lord constantly over and over and over and over again to seek out what the Lord's will is for us, to seek out a relationship with Him. It says that that widow went to that unjust judge over and over and over again, and it said this unjust didn't care about God and didn't care about people. But yet, because she kept on coming to him over and over and over again, the unjust judge said, I'll vindicate her because she bothers me. He says, what about your heavenly Father? We don't bother our heavenly Father. He's waiting for us. He loves us. He wants to talk with us. And it's not that prayer changes God, because prayer does not change God. Prayer changes us. Prayer changes us. If I would have got an answer at the beginning of that year that I'm supposed to go to Sacred Heart Seminary, I wouldn't have accepted it. I wasn't ready. It took me a year to get to that point in which the Lord could show me in a way in which I would understand and it's a way which I would have followed. I had to change. I had to change through prayer. And it was a fight. It was a battle. It wasn't always easy. You don't necessarily always feel good when you pray, and sometimes it's even drudgery. But if we continue to persevere over and over again with the Lord, he'll show us something wonderful, and in fact, he'll give us miracles. Miracles every day if we want it. We just have to fight for it. And in that, he taught me a lesson, how to come to him daily, how to speak with him, to find out that Jesus Christ is an actual person. He's physically here right now. And he wants to have a relationship with me, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to talk with you over and over and over again. He wants to say, I love you. Because he does. And we should be saying back to him, we love you as well. We have to sacrifice, though. It costs us something. It costs us our very life because it cost his life. By his blood, we were set free. And to fight for this relationship, because we fight for anything that's worth it in this world, right? If we want to have a college education, we have to go through 4 years or maybe even 8 years of school. That's a sacrifice. If we want to get married, we have to meet a person and we have to conform ourselves to them so that we can get along. We have to get to know them. We're saying no to everybody else in the world. It's a sacrifice. If we want to learn how to play an instrument like the band, they just didn't pick those instruments up yesterday. It's a sacrifice. They have to practice hours upon hours upon hours on end. And all of these are wonderful things to have in life, but they pale in comparison to our God here, who wants to have an everlasting relationship with us, to communicate his divine love to us always, to have this intimate relationship with him. It's a sacrifice. But what do we lose? Well, we don't lose much, really. If you were at church 2 weeks ago, which I hope you were, the gospel, Peter said, Lord, we've given up everything. What was he saying? What do we get out of this? It's really what he was saying. And he said, I tell you, anybody who's given up for me, lands, husbands, wives, parents, children, will get it all back 100-fold, not only in this life, but in the life to come. We get it all back. It's just a right ordering. It shows us how to put our lives in the right order. God always first. If we want to have a better marriage, God first. If we want to have a better friendship, God first. If we want to have a better life, God first. A better community, God first. And God will magnify all of that and make it into something even more beautiful than we could ever imagine, or maybe not even possibly imagine. God can do amazing things. We just have to give it over to him. And we have to be willing to let our lives be turned upside down, maybe change directions just a little bit. I have another Bible passage here in Luke. We have Luke 9:57. As they were going along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I smile every time I read that Bible passage. See, when I went into the seminary, I was living in Hamtramck for a while, and then I lived at my parents' house for a while, and then you lived at the seminary, and then we were in Mexico for the summer, and then we were at a parish, and it just seemed like my bed was somewhere different almost every single month. I felt like I didn't have a home. And I remember when I was doing my internship at a parish, after Mass, I was just talking to a gentleman, and I quoted this passage. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. And he looked at me real funny. And he kind of just got really quiet. We kind of had an exchange and he left. And I thought that was odd. Like, what was he thinking? I was just joking around. I don't know what happened there. I saw him next week at Mass. And he was very stern, and he looked at me, and he was very sincere, too. And he pulled me aside after Mass. And he said, "You know what? I talked about it with my wife. We had a couple long conversations, and we feel that it's not right that you don't have a place to sleep, and we're going to open up our home to you." Wow. Wow. First, I was dumbfounded because I was just joking. I had a place to stay. But then I realized the great sacrifice that this man and his wife were willing to do for me so that I could have a place to stay. I could just imagine the conversation that he had with his wife. "Well, you know, I talked to him. He's got nowhere. Well, I don't want him in our house. Well, he's a good guy." Who knows what the conversation was? Their privacy, their whole way of life was turned upside down because they were willing to invite me into their home. And that's just me. Are we willing to invite Jesus Christ into the home of our hearts, to the home of our souls, into the home of our minds, so that everything now is different because Jesus Christ is at rest in us? It should look different. It should. But we need to communicate with him. And the only way we get to know a person is to communicate and to talk with each other. And just as we got to know our husband, and just as we got to know our wife, just as we got to know our best friend, we need to get to know Jesus Christ as well. And to spend that time with him, no matter how hard it is, to spend that time with him. If all we do is come to Mass on Sunday and just spend that 1 hour with the Lord and then never think of God again throughout the whole week, then our faith is on life support. It's not enough. And trust me, I've been there. It's not enough. I had this gaping hole within my heart. And in a sense, I would go to Mass to fulfill an obligation, and then I would kind of push Jesus in the corner of my life in a little room and lock it up and say, "You cannot come out until next week at 1:30 because we went to the 1:30 Mass." We have to do more. We have to spend time with him, and we have to fight for it. And you'll say, "Well, Father Craig, I don't have time." None of us have time. An average of 4 hours a day is what an average American watches TV. 4 hours a day. A recent study said that 10 hours a day that teenagers are on an electronical device. 10 hours a day, not a week, a day. To spend just 15 minutes with the Lord can make a huge difference. Because we begin to hear what our Master's voice sounds like. We get to know what our friend is like, so that we can come to him and we can hear him clearly about the direction that he wants to go in our lives, that we should go in our lives. We have to get creative with it. You know what? So when I went to Hamtramck, I didn't bring a TV because I knew I would watch it all the time. I don't have a video game system in my house right now because I would be on it all day long. So I chose not to buy one. Although I still want one, I won't buy it, because I would be on it all the time. When I was a little bit younger and trying to get to know the Lord, I listened to horrible music, horrible message to it, horrible beat, horrible stuff, but yet I was hooked on it. So I thought, well, I got to do something drastic here, because I listened to music when I was in my car, and it was 45 minutes to my work and 45 minutes back, an hour and a half. So I ripped my radio out of my car. I didn't have a radio. My friends didn't like it. They didn't want to drive with me. But I got to know the Lord in my car. An hour and a half every single day that I went to work. And sometimes it was boring. Sometimes I prayed the rosary. Sometimes I prayed the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Sometimes I talked to the Lord. Sometimes I made beats with the windshield wipers. The clicker would go, and then I would bang on the dash. Then I'd start talking to the Lord again. It afforded me that time to get to know the Lord, to seek after him, to find him, to knock on the door. One more passage here from Luke. This is Luke 11. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. All we have to do is ask the Lord, and the Lord is waiting to give us an answer. It does take perseverance and prayer, but we won't be disappointed if we come to him daily. And I'm thinking especially about our young people here today. If you're anywhere between like 12 and 18, what an awesome time of life it is right now. You literally have the world at your fingertips. You have a choice to do anything that you want in life. And what a cool time in life it is to be. I know I'm sounding old, and I'm not that old. You youngsters. It's awesome. You could do anything. Anything. What an exciting time. Don't make that decision on your own. It's such a hard decision to make. Look at it with God. Plead with God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do in my life? What's my vocation? Vocation meaning God's call for us and how to live it out. Because God knows us better than we know ourselves, and God's going to put us in a vocation in which we're going to have the most happiness, have the most joy, have the most peace. Doesn't mean we won't have problems. We all have problems. But it will be exactly where we need to be. Is it the priesthood? I'm sure there's some priests in training here. Is it to the religious life? I'm sure some young men and some young women have a vocation to religious life. Is it to marriage? I'm sure a lot of you have the vocation to marriage. Maybe it's single life. Maybe God doesn't need you tied to anything so you can travel around the world doing his work. Who knows what it is? But to seek after the Lord, to ask those questions, and to start now so that when the time comes, you just don't fall into something. That you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. Because God performed a miracle in your life. Miracles can happen every single day. And in fact, they do happen every single day. On this altar, every single day, a miracle happens. God comes and shows up and says, here, take your life, take my life inside of you. What an amazing thing. So today, we have Jesus here. Exposed in the sacrament, and which is a beautiful thing. It's a prayer in itself just to sit before the Lord in the tabernacle or exposed in the monstrance. It's like going outside in full bright daylight, right? You get a suntan. Well, this is sort of like a suntan for your soul. You cannot not be changed when you're in front of the Lord. He'll always make a difference. So I just ask you today, as we're going to process Jesus throughout this church, offer up your life to the Lord if you haven't offered your life before. Maybe for some of you younger people, maybe you've never done that before. To take those baptismal vows that your parents made for you upon their faith and to make this faith your own and say, Lord, I give you my life today. Do with me what you will. To echo the words of the Blessed Mother, who said, Lord, let it be done to me according to your will. And for those of us who know and have already given ourselves over to the Lord, to reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord and to say, I give you my life. But we all have questions. And as he comes around, ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, do you want me to do in my life? What about my relationship with my husband or wife? What about my job? What about this sickness that I have? What about whatever it is in our lives? Because if it matters to us, it matters to God. Perseverance in prayer, to pray unceasingly, doesn't change God, it changes us. And the Lord will answer. It might not be in the timing that we want, and it might not be in the manner that we want, but it will be in the time that we can accept it in a way in which we can understand. The Lord is giving his life to all of us today. Open up and receive. Come and see the goodness of the Lord. Trust me, you will not be disappointed.